Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of Midwest Beat. I'm your host, Tom Lounges. This program is all about music and the people who make it. My guest this afternoon has been making music over 5 decades. You know his name, you know his guitar playing, and of course you know his band. They're called The Doors, and his name is Robbie Krieger. The Doors are releasing a brand new DVD, aptly titled The Doors Live at the Isle of Wight, 1970. It's available now, coming out today. Robbie Krieger will join us in just a few minutes, but first let's sample something from that album. Let's break on through to this interview with Robbie Krieger of The Doors. Stay with me.
It is officially reported that over 500,000 people have come to the Isle of Wight for this festival. One of the reasons, ladies and gentlemen, is on the stage now. Please welcome The Doors.
Thank you.
Coming at you live from the Isle of Wight, 1970. That is brand new stuff released today, The Doors. And a great classic concert. The guy who played the guitar on that you just heard, well, he's with us, Mr. Robbie Krieger. We're going to talk about the DVD. We're going to talk a little about his time with The Doors, his memories of Jim Morrison, and so much more. Hello, Robbie. Are you there?
Hello, Robbie Krieger here.
Robbie, welcome to the program.
First of all, happy belated birthday. We just missed your birthday.
Thanks. Yeah, 72.
What was it that prompted the release at this point in history of Live at the Isle of Wight with The Doors, again, going back to August of 1970?
Well, it's mainly the fact that there was a lot of legal problems and hang-ups that we had to get cleared. And we finally got all that cleared up, and then it took a while to, get it all edited and stuff. So, thankfully, it's finally ready to come out.
How involved were you personally in the particular project as far as overviewing the editing, seeing the footage, deciding what made it, what didn't?
Well, I was mainly more interested in the sound quality and, you know, what happened was the recording wasn't quite done right, so we had to go back and recreate part of the guitar parts, which were lost, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it came out pretty good, and it's pretty much exactly what was played originally.
Now, I know I had interviewed Murray Lerner sometime back when he released the Rory Gallagher and Taste Live at Isle of Wight, and he was telling me it was a multi-camera shoot. Was that the same format done with this?
Yeah, definitely. But one problem they had was that Jim insisted on only one color of light, and he was being kind of a jerk, I guess. I don't know, maybe he didn't like how he looked that night or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he didn't want it to be all, you know, bright, and
right.
He wanted it to be like mysterious, you know.
Yeah, it's very, very dark and moody in some parts, that's for sure.
Yeah, it kind of works.
Doors Music Company, LLC, is credited as co-producing this, and I'm just curious on that. I know that you and Ray Manzarek seem to be, from the outside looking in, joint caretakers of the Doors archives in the latter years anyway. Is John still involved in all that, or did he pull away from it?
No, he's still involved. He for a while he wasn't, but he's pretty much back in the loop.
Okay.
Especially on this one. In fact, John and I did some interviews after the fact about 6 months ago. And, he's definitely involved now.
Was this started when Ray was still with us? Because he, not too long ago passed. Was he involved in this?
Well, not really. Pretty much we started getting on it again about a year and a half ago.
Okay.
Which was after Ray passed.
Absolutely Live featured tracks recorded in 1970 on the American tour. Most of them seem to be between January and July. Isle of Wight took place right after that in August of 70. Just curious as to why tracks from Isle of Wight weren't used on Absolutely Live back in the day.
Well, that's a good question. The Absolutely Live stuff was produced by Paul Rothschild and Bruce Botnick.
Mm-hmm.
And, all those shows that the songs came from were recorded by them, and it was all on pretty much on one tour back east. And the Isle of Wight, you know, they had really nothing to do with that, so
okay.
that couldn't be included.
Okay, from a perspective of somebody who was there during it all and played on both, and it's the same time frame, again, 1970, do you feel one better focuses, better presents the band? Either one stand out for you?
You know what, I like them both. I mean, they're quite different, but, if you didn't have the footage from Isle of Wight, that's a good question. There's some great music on Isle of Wight. Jim's voice was really good. But it's not quite a fair comparison because that's just one show, and Absolutely Live was taken from like 10 different shows.
Okay. The third annual Isle of Wight was a three-day event. On which of the days did the Doors perform? Do you remember it?
Geez, I don't really remember.
Okay.
I think we were either second or the third day.
If you just tuned in, I'm Tom Lounges, and you're listening to Midwest Beat here on Lakeshore Public Radio. My guest today is iconic guitarist Robbie Krieger of The Doors. The Doors have a brand new release, came out today, in fact, called The Doors Live at the Isle of Wight, 1970. We're going to get back to talking with Robbie in just a moment. First, let's sample that DVD recording once again. Let's light up the airwaves with a song that Robbie wrote back in the day. The Doors Live at the Isle of Wight. More with Robbie Krieger on the other side.
You know that I would be a liar if I would not say to you, girl, we couldn't get much higher. Come on, baby, light my fire. Come on, baby, light my fire. Pray to set the night on fire. I'm too hesitating still. No time to wallow in the miles. Kinda we can only lose. And I love to come out funeral pyre. Come on, baby, light my fire. Come on, baby, light my fire. Pray to set the night on fire. Thank you.
ladies too. No time to wallow in the mire. China, we can only lose. And I love to come out funeral pie.
Come on, baby, light my fire. Come on, baby, light my fire. Hey, let's hit the night on.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, baby, light my fire. Gotta love that tune. That's one that my guest today, Robbie Krieger, wrote. We are talking with Robbie about the brand new, released today, Doors Live at the Isle of Wight, 1970 DVD and companion CD from which that song came. Robbie.
600,000 reportedly attended the Third Isle of Wight Festival, making it bigger than even Woodstock, who most of us consider the mother of all rock festivals. And like Woodstock, there was a lot of rain. There was some gate crashing at Isle of Wight. As performers back then, did you ever fear for your safety with all the craziness and all the sheer volume of people that were showing up at these fests?
Not really. No, we heard about, you know, people crashing the gates and, you know, the cops fighting them and people getting hurt and stuff. I remember Joni Mitchell was in tears. She was really upset about it. No, we really didn't have the feeling that they were, you know, people were going to, it wasn't going to be like a Altamont or something.
Right. Back then, you guys had so many different styles of music. As you mentioned, Joni Mitchell, the soft side, Joan Baez. Of course, you had Hendrix on there, which is comparable to you, Alvin Lee. Was there an artist or an act that you most personally remember wanting to see or enjoying catching at the show?
Well, I really wanted to see the Stones, but I think they were the day before us, so we didn't get to see them. But we got to see The Who. They were great. And yeah, I'd seen Joni Mitchell many times before that, and she was really good. Joan Baez was there. Yeah, she was one of my favorites. In fact, I saw her when I was in high school. That was my first big concert I ever went to.
Wow.
At Stanford. I was going to school near there, to high school. And I got backstage, and I had her sign my hand.
I hope you get a picture of it.
Only autograph I've ever asked for. Didn't wash it for about a month. But.
That I believe. You started out young playing guitar, and one of the things that was interesting is the fact that you embraced flamenco guitar, and it wasn't really a very popular style, at least with pop music at that point. What made you go to flamenco, and are you still playing flamenco? I know that you do a lot of instrumental stuff, or at least were doing it on the No Speak stuff for IRS many years ago.
Yeah, I try to keep it up, you know. It gets harder as you get older. But I was just playing yesterday on my 1963 Ramirez flamenco guitar, which I got back in 1964. My last album, Singularity, had some flamenco on it. It was the first cut on in a thing called Russian Caravan.
Okay. Speaking of which, Spanish Caravan featured the flamenco playing quite heavily, and that going back to the Doors era.
Yeah, that was pretty much the only flamenco I was able to get into the Doors music.
Well, I spoke with you many years back, and you and your son were working on a few projects together. Are you still doing work with him?
Yeah. In fact, he's singing now. He's singing the Doors stuff.
With the Robbie Krieger Band?
Pardon?
With the Robbie Krieger Band?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, he's doing pretty good. In fact, a lot of people really had some good comments about him lately. And, you know, he doesn't try to copy Jim, you know, like some of the tribute guys do, but he puts his own thing on it, and I'm real proud of him. I think he's doing great.
Now, he's branched off to do a lot of stuff on his own as well.
Yeah, and in fact, he never really sang before, before about 2 years ago when we started doing this latest round of the Doors music, and, you know, he was just playing guitar. He played with Joe Bonamassa for a while. They had a band called Bloodline.
Right, I remember that, with Miles' son.
Yeah, Miles Davis' kid. The singer was the son of, what's his name? The guy that was with Van Halen after David.
Sammy Hagar?
Yeah, Sammy Hagar's son.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a pretty cool band.
Jumping back to the Doors, L.A. Woman was the last studio album to feature Jim actually in the studio with you guys. He had already talked of quitting the group as far back as 69 Soft Parade. What kept you guys going during those periods when Jim seemed to prove, shall we say, unpredictable and maybe uncooperative?
Well, yeah, we, you know, because of the Miami deal, we couldn't really play that much. A lot of promoters wouldn't hire us, so we just kept recording. You know, I mean, we recorded six albums within 3 years, which you know, nobody does that today. So thankfully, we were. You know, Jim loved to perform. He loved to. Yeah, you know, that's all he lived for, and you know, writing songs and being in the studio. You know, and him getting too drunk sometimes didn't make it easy a lot of times. But, you know, I'm just glad we got as much done as we did.
Right. Do you think things would have carried on as the Doors had Jim not passed away July 1971? Would the Doors have continued on?
I'm sure we would have. You know, he, like I say, Jim lived to perform, and you know, he was, even when he was in Paris, he would be jumping up on stage with, you know, various bands and stuff. And, you know, that was his thing. So, you know, and he, before he passed away, he did call back. He called the office, and John was there. He spoke with him, and sounded like he was, you know, definitely interested in coming back at some point and, you know, recording again.
The sound that you guys had from album to album was an evolution, a progression. A lot of the blues, definitely, but it seemed like you were adding more strings, more jazz overtones. Do you think you'd have continued in that direction? Where do you think the Doors would have been?
That's a hard one to tell, but, you know, that album, Soft Parade album, was, you know, at that time, and it was Sgt. Pepper, and even the Stones had, you know, some orchestral stuff. So, you know, I sometimes think we were just kind of jumping on that bandwagon, and maybe it was a mistake. But I love some of the stuff on that album, you know, like Touch Me, Tell All the People.
Tell all the people that you see, follow me. Follow me down. Tell all the people that you see, set them free. Follow me down. You tell them they don't have to run. We're gonna can't you see the wonder at your feet? Your life's complete. Follow me down. Can't you see me growing? Get your guns. The time has come to follow me down. Follow me across the sea where milky babies seem to be molded, flowing revelry with the one that set them free. Tell all the people that you see it's just me. People that you see will be free. Follow me down. Tell all the people that you see it's just me. Follow me down. Tell all the people that you see follow me.
Thank you.
Tom Lounge is here on Midwest Beat, giving you a pair of songs off the Doors' classic album, Soft Parade. We heard Tell All the People and Touch Me back to back. My guest is Robbie Krieger, iconic guitarist of the band The Doors, who have a brand new DVD and companion CD that's out today, called The Doors Live at the Isle of Wight 1970. And Robbie's here to talk about his history with the band, his memories of Jim Morrison, and we're going to talk about some of his side projects and solo projects as well. But Robbie, let's get back to Soft Parade. That album was decidedly different. It came out at the time that Sgt. Pepper's was out there, Satanic Majesty's Request, Pet Sounds. All the bands were experimenting with sound. You yourself mentioned that was probably why this album had such a unique approach to it. Do you think the Doors' music would have progressed into more of that kind of style down the road?
I doubt if we would have gone down that road again. You know, after that album, we did two more albums, which were really pared down, you know, just the four of us.
Right, right. Soft Parade was also the first time that I recall seeing you guys listed as individual songwriters. Prior to that, the first three albums written by the Doors was the basic credit. What prompted that?
You know, Jim wanted it to be mysterious as to who wrote the songs. He was not an ego type guy, you know. He didn't care if people thought he wrote the songs or I wrote the songs, or, you know. And really, it was a group effort, you know. I mean, Jim or I would come up with the original songs, but then we would all work on them together and make them what they were.
Mm-hmm.
So, but by the time Soft Parade came around, I was writing more of the lyrics on that one, and we just decided to, say who wrote which one, because
mm-hmm.
people always ask.
A lot of fans don't realize how many of the hits you wrote, Light My Fire, Love Me Two Times, Touch Me, Love Me Madly, or Love Her Madly, rather, many of them that you had done. And
You Lost Little Girl.
Yeah. One of my favorite Doors songs ever, and you were a co-writer on it, and I'd like to know if there's a story behind it, and that is Peace Frog, which was off Morrison Hotel. And I think it's a favorite because, of course, I'm here in Chicago, and you referenced the Democratic Convention and the violence there, but the lyrical imagery, the percussive groove you've got, and even the title. The title is classic.
Blood will be born in the birth of a nation. Blood. throes of mysterious humor. Dead blood in the streets, it's up to my ankles. Blood in the streets, it's up to my knee. Blood in the streets, the town of Chicago. Blood on the rise is following me.
You're listening to Midwest Beat. I'm Tom Lounges. My guest is iconic guitarist Robbie Krieger of The Doors. We just heard one of my personal favorites from The Doors catalog, Peace Frog. Robbie, what's the story on that song? It's such a unique tune.
Yeah, well, when we play that in person, it's always one of the most requested songs. But the way that happened was I came up with the music for it and then took it to Jim, and he couldn't think of anything, any words for it right offhand. So he went and grabbed one of his poetry books, and he's looking through the book, and he found this thing called... it was called Abortion Stories.
Okay. Interesting.
So, and it seemed to fit right in, you know. Blood in the Streets, Town of Chicago. That might have had something other to do with than just the riots, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Might have been a story about an abortion that happened. But that was the... of course, we changed the title.
Right,
don't,
right.
Don't ask me how he came up with Peace Frog.
That's a classic title. I love that.
Yeah. Did you ever hear the redo I did on that song? I did like a remix of that. It's on one of my solo albums, and it, instead of Peace Frog, I called it War Toad.
Excellent. Love it.
Check it out.
Well, let's give it a listen right now. War Toad, Robbie Krieger.
Yeah.
unique reimagining of the classic Doors song Peace Frog by one of the guys from the band, Mr. Robbie Krieger, the guitarist of the Doors, my guest today, celebrating the release of the Doors Live at Isle of Wight 1970, a great DVD and a CD companion live album. We're going to get to another track from that in just a bit, but Robbie, that was War Toad, your take on Peace Frog, a classic Doors song from a solo album of yours.
Now, you've got a lot of solo albums out, at least five or six that I know of. Are they all still available?
Mostly, yeah. You can still find them on iTunes and whatever.
Okay. As someone who has spent a lot of years in the record retail business, and thank goodness vinyl is coming back.
In fact, I got a new one coming out.
Okay.
Yeah, I haven't got a name for it yet, but it'll probably be called Robbie Krieger's Jam Kitchen.
Okay, like that. Will it be recorded live? It sounds like it'd be more of a live studio album.
No, but it's studio album, but it's instrumental mostly, and it's I had a group together in which we played this a lot of this stuff, and we were called Jam Kitchen. So that's where that name comes from. Okay. And three of the guys on the album are from Frank Zappa's bands.
Hmm. You've played with Billy Cobham before. He was with Frank.
Yeah, yeah.
He did some of your solo stuff.
Yeah, he's great.
And Edgar Winter, I think, was on a couple of them as well. You guys paired off.
Right. Edgar Winter and Billy Cobham were on Cinematic.
I've spent a lot of time in the record retail business, and I'm so glad that vinyl is finally back because kids are turning on to more and more of the classics. But one of the things that's always pleasantly surprised me is how generations born after the Doors' heyday continue to look for, buy, and collect Doors' music. So many bands of the same era are pretty much footnotes in history, other than the Beatles, Zeppelin, Hendrix, the Doors, and maybe a handful of others. Why do you think the Doors are in that very small number of bands that continue to win legions of fans over and continue to matter?
Well, it's obviously the guitar playing.
All right, like that.
No, I mean, I think one reason is the depth of the material. Like, you know, you go and listen to those albums, and there's really no sleeper songs. And there are very few. And people, I think, are still discovering songs that, you know, that they hadn't really noticed maybe before. And, you know, in other words, we were not just a one-song album group, you know, where you get one good song and the rest is kind of crap. There's a lot of the bands were like that back then.
And again, so many kids come in. We see them wearing Doors T-shirts. Those are back in vogue again, all the classic rock. But just a handful of bands have endured the way you guys have, and I think that's a real credit to all of you as songwriters and performers.
Yeah, we were lucky. I think we had the right combination of people to make really good records, and we had a great team, you know, Rothschild and Bruce Botnick together, you know, just we always got a great sound.
That said, you lost producer Paul Rothschild. He had left the group about the same time Jim had parted ways. Shortly thereafter, toward the tail end, what was losing Paul's impact on the sound of the Doors?
Well, you know, Paul had just finished Janis's album, her last album, and she had just passed away, and I think Paul was, you know, he was fearing that Jim was going down that same path, and he just, it was too much for him. I think he couldn't take losing another artist. At least that's my take on it.
Okay. And Bruce stepped in, and I think it was L.A. Woman was the
right,
last.
L.A. Woman,
yeah.
Bruce produced it with us, so it's produced by The Doors and Bruce Botnick.
Okay. The Doors made two albums after Jim's death, three if you count American Prayer. Was it a hard decision to carry on under The Doors' name without Morrison?
It was very hard. You know, we thought, you know, he couldn't just replace Jim with another singer.
Right.
So, and we had all these songs that we'd been working on, you know, when he was in Paris. So we just decided to go ahead and, you know, we asked Jack Holtzman, who was the electric guy.
Mm-hmm.
He said, hell yeah, let's do it, you know. We actually could have done a couple more albums, but what happened was after the second album, we did decide to try and find a singer. So we went to England and hoped to find somebody over there, but we just couldn't get along. Three of us kind of got on each other's nerves too much. Yeah, without Jim, the balance was kind of gone. You know?
Right. Well, the first album that you did after Jim, Other Voices, actually charted in the top 40 on the album charts. You sang some of the lead, Ray sang some of the lead, and it was a pretty solid album. This is a sample of what The Doors sounded like without Jim Morrison. From the Other Voices album, which was the first release without Jim, this one's called In the Eye of the Sun. More with my guest, Robbie Krieger of The Doors, after this.
I was having some fun.
That's a lost classic from 1971. It's off a Doors album called Other Voices. It was the first studio album released by the Doors after the death of iconic singer Jim Morrison.